Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Today we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. All right, the Word of God says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this great salvation where Your own Son shed His blood for us while we were still sinners and enemies. And we thank You that now that we have been reconciled by His blood, and we are now called Your children, how much more can we rejoice in You and in Your great salvation. So we thank You, Lord, and we ask that You continue to bless the rest of the service, the preaching of the Word, the testimonies, and the songs of praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. We'll consider that story that Omar had referenced earlier that Jesus gives that many of us are familiar with. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Let's ask God's blessing on His Word today. Oh, Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity we have to be here today.
I thank You for this church and all that it means to us. I thank You, Lord, that these testimonies are but just a little bit of a snapshot of the stories of grace and mercy and faithfulness that You give to us each and every day. And I pray that all of us would be able to testify to Your greatness even in the storms of life. So please open up Your Word and encourage Your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. The Bible says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." How many of you in Sunday school or growing up, if you were in church at all, remember a nursery rhyme or a Sunday school song based on this, with all the motions? Can you raise your hand? Okay. Oh, more than I thought. Okay. So you know, for those of you who don't know, growing up in church, there was this little song, and it was, if you can sing it with me, that would be really helpful. And the gestures, I tried to choreograph myself last night, but I thought I remembered it, but I didn't. But it goes something like this. "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. Kids, you can do this. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went crash. If we could edit that out of the live stream, that'd be great. Thank you. I just remember as a kid going to this children's event, Boys and Girls for Jesus. It was once a month, I think. And I couldn't wait for that very end so that I could say as loud as I could with my friends, crash! Because the house fell down, and when you're a little boy, you just want to yell, especially in church. So kids love this song, right? And I remember that from my childhood. But you know, fun and games aside, right, this song really testifies to the truth that we've heard about already today. And that is that the storms will come, right? This is Jesus demonstrating for us a reality in life. He didn't give us this story simply for the Sunday school song. This is very relevant. This is actually the very ending of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount that begins in chapter 5, it actually ends with this story. So after all Jesus had said in that famous sermon, he ends it with this illustration. If you hear me and build your life upon what I said, you will be like the wise man. If you hear me and you don't do what I said, you'll be like the foolish man and your house will crash. And so, brethren, as we come to the close of a very difficult and challenging year, my goal here is to encourage you. I want to encourage you with the truth from this passage that we often tend to forget. The truths are not to provide you an escape, as if we could deny the reality that the floods will come and the rains will beat on our house, but to provide you with the security and the peace that Christ gives you in the midst of that. If you listen to the news, if you listen to the radio, if you're just familiar at all with how people are talking about the world, you might hear something like, this is the end. It's the end of the world. It's the end of America as we know it. It's the end of the Western world, the Western culture. Well, I don't know what the future holds. Neither do most, if not all, of the pundits who are declaring the end of this or the end of that. But I do know that as long as it is day, as long as the world exists, there is one institution that will not cease to exist. And that is the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Not COVID, not what happens in the White House, not what happens in America, not what happens in China, not restrictions, not mask wearing, none of the things that are so encumbering us are going to end the church. We have Christ's promise with us to the end of the age. His people will persevere. If you look throughout the history of God's people, from the Old Testament all the way through the New and through church history, they have suffered persecution and famine and sword, and as Paul says, they're more than conquerors. They've never been from Christ. But I also have to let you know that although that promise assures us that God will always have His people in each and every age, and there's nothing this world can give us that will destroy His church ultimately, you must know that that promise is not specifically given to any one local church or any one region. In other words, there's no guarantee in this book that Bread of Life Kearney will make it to the end of the age. There's no guarantee that the Church of America will be around until the end of the age. When you look throughout the Bible, you see what were once strong churches. Perhaps the church at Ephesus. We think of the church at Ephesus as a strong church. But the Bible says in Revelation that they left their first love. God tells specific churches in the book of Revelation that I will blow out your candlestick. He rebukes the lukewarm. You look in the Bible, you see the church of Thessalonica, the church at Philippi, the church at Ephesus, the church at Galatia, and ask yourself this question now, where are they now? And so there's no particular promise that this denomination, or this region, or this local church will endure. It's a promise to God's people in general. But in our text today, Jesus does give us a condition. He does tell us that there's something that the church, the local church, us, we, the body, can do that would guarantee that our house would not be destroyed. And that's what I want to encourage you with today, is that Christ is calling us to renew our minds to the priority that if we build our house, that is your home, this church, your life, upon the solid rock, it doesn't matter what comes our way, we will stand. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. There's so much I can say here, but I want to give you five truths. Five truths from this text that should encourage our hearts today. The first truth is this. When Jesus says, the words of mine, he says in verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine. Truth number one is what we believe must come from Christ. Now, I know that's elementary. Like, of course, this is a church, right? Everything we believe is Christian in nature. But let's face it. We all have some Christian doctrine in our mind. But it's mingled. It's mingled with our own traditions, our own perspectives, things that we're hearing, things that we're reading. But Jesus Christ and Jesus alone is the living Word of God. And He, because He's the living Word of God, reveals God to us. When His disciples said, Lord, show us the Father, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. The Bible says He's the express image of God. In Him dwells all the fullness of God. Well, you and I live in a world of competing voices, competing with the voice of the Lord. It's as though your mind is a blank slate. And while we should fill it with the Word of God, media and everything else is trying to fill it with their lies. Pundits, politicians, celebrities, social media, mainstream media, alternative media, all of them are vying for your attention and mine. There's nothing inherently wrong, of course, in listening to the news, watching the news, listening to a podcast, doing research, studying. But we must make sure that everything we hear is taken captive under the authority of Christ. Jesus said, it's the one who hears my words and does them that will build his house on the rock. You're not missing out if you don't have the best credentials or you don't have the highest degree, but if you don't know the words of Christ, you're missing everything. That's why we sing the word above all earthly powers, right? We must take every thought captive under Christ, every philosophy captive under Christ, every idea, every claim must be subject to what Christ said because He is Lord of Lords. He is the King. He is the Creator. He is the divine Son of God. And He is our Savior. And He loved us. And He died for our sins and rose triumphant from the grave. He is worth following. Brothers and sisters, He is worthy of your attention. He is worthy of your gaze. He is worthy for us to replace those countless hours doing meaningless stuff and then focusing on Him and His Word. So put down the phone. Silence the media. Turn off YouTube. Mute the pundit and gaze upon Christ. Let His Word richly dwell in you. Read about Him in your personal time with God. Listen to preaching and teaching from your spiritual leaders when you come to church. Crave, Peter says, as newborn babies, crave the milk of the Word and devour it. And let it be the Word of Christ that guides you. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Jesus said in this passage that the one who builds his house on the rock first must hear his words. We must know his word. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. And I ask you, are you listening to the voice of Christ above all the other competing voices in the world? But that brings us to truth number two. Because it's one thing to know something, right? A whole different thing to do it. As Jesus turned to his disciples one day and said, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? Or as the Apostle James challenges us, don't just be hearers of the law, but doers as well. And so Jesus says in this same verse, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You could be an individual, part of a family, or even part of a church that gives great lip service. We are Christ-centered. We're doctrinally sound. We know our systematic theology. We know what Christ said. We can point to chapter and verse and proof text this. We can win Bible drills. But if we're not doing any of it, what does it mean? We're a bunch of hypocrites. See, the difference between the wise man and the foolish man in this text isn't one hears Christ and the other doesn't hear Christ. The difference between the two men is they both hear Christ, but one follows him and one does not. One obeys and one does not. They both hear, but they don't listen. If you've ever dealt with children as a teacher or as a parent, you know there's a difference between hearing and listening. You can say to a child, are you listening to me? And they might interpret it, I'm hearing you. I'm audibly, you know, hearing the whatever the Charlie Brown adult want, like in my, I can hear you. But to listen is to obey, is to follow, is to respond appropriately. You see, wisdom is not found in a textbook or winning in trivia or the rank of your IQ or how many degrees you have. You can have 3 PhDs and still be a foolish man. The wise man is the one who hears the words of Christ and follows the words of Christ. You are wise, even though to the world you might be a fool. You are wise if you hear Christ and you obey Christ. That is why in our church, our priority is hearing and following the words of Christ. There are many ways, I'm sure, that people would suggest to us to grow this church. How can we grow? What kind of marketing strategy or church growth guru can we bring in to make sure that this church is, you know, filled to the brim? But our priority is the preaching and teaching of the words of Christ. And our priority as members of this church is to obey what we hear. And it might seem tired, and it might seem boring, and it's not the next big thing, and it's not the thing that's going to make us the most popular church, but it is the thing that will build our church on the rock. And we will stand. That is our firm foundation, and that's why we prioritize this at Bread of Life Kearney. We don't need to be the coolest church in town. We don't have to have the temperature in here. It really is most likely the coolest church in town, but we don't need to have the best production value in this church. We simply need to be a church that hears the words of Christ and follows the words of Christ. So truth number one, we must hear the word. Truth number two, we must obey the word. Truth number three, Jesus says the rain fell. He goes on with the story, the wise man, the foolish man, both hear. One obeys, one doesn't, but in both cases, the rain falls. In both cases, the torrent rages and the floods come up. I speak this to my shame. In Bible college, there was a professor that my friends and I used to make fun of. We called him the weatherman because every single sermon was about storms in your life. And we said, here comes the weatherman, about to preach again. Now looking back, I must recant and say, well, maybe he could have had a few other topics. He was right. He was right to remind us that there would be storms in our lives. And if that was the drum he beat, even if he beat that drum a little too much, everything he said was true in regarding this fact that you can be a Christian. We were in Bible college. You can be a pastoral ministry candidate, getting your degree in biblical studies and going to preach the Bible as a job, and still storms will come into your life. See, that one of the big differences between our understanding of the church and what you see sometimes on, say, TBN and the prosperity gospel and the name it and claim it, health and wealth, is that we don't preach that life in Christ is the absence of conflict. Life in Christ is not the absence of storms. Life in Christ doesn't preserve you from health trials. It doesn't preserve you from trials on your job or even the threat of persecution. The Christian life is not a way to make a better worldly life. The Christian life is peace with God in the midst of the chaos. The Christian life is contentment in the midst of persecution, in the midst of suffering, and resolve in the midst of adversity. If you're not prepared for suffering and adversity, if you think the Christian life is all about health and wealth, then you are in the wrong place. But if you understand that even as a blood-bought, spirit-indwelled, born-again, heaven-bound Christian, you will still bear the storms of this life. But you have something the world can offer, peace and security in Christ, then you need to renew your mind to what the foundation of our faith is all about. You all know 2020, if anything, was a reminder that the storms will come upon just and unjust. The sun shines, the rain falls, Jesus said, on godly and ungodly. But Paul said, all who live godly will suffer persecution. How could we not? At the end of the day, this is a depraved world. The Bible says we're not of the world, but we are in the world. And so long as we're in this world and we bear these bodies of flesh, until the day we die and we are with Jesus, we will suffer those storms. 2020 is not something new. It's simply showing the symptoms of a disease that's already there. We live in a sin-cursed world. Hence, the pandemic, the chaos, the looting, the rioting, the international tension, and even the division within the church. All these things are symptoms of our sinful natures living in a sin-cursed world. Unfortunately, all of that's not resigned just to the world, it's also in the church. If you ever spent 5 minutes on theological Twitter, you'd want to pull your hair out. But in our own church, some have lost jobs. Some have lost loved ones. We in our church are still reeling from the loss of our dear worship leader, our brother Bill as well. Many of you have made changes in direction to where you live, what job you have, what classes you take. We could say this has been a year of storms and floods. And I think about our church. And I think about how the rains have come down on Bread of Life. And even last Sunday alone, for those of you who were here, another reminder, the frailty of life. Right here in the midst of our worship service. And sometimes throughout this year, I'm sure you felt like you were drowning in the midst of these storms. Well, that's a reality. That's why we have to recognize this is a truth in this passage. That Jesus says of both the wise and the fool that the rains would come, the floods would come. But the difference between the two is not one of climate. He doesn't say the wise man is exempt from storms. They both have the same climate, the same weather conditions, the same beating on their houses, but one stands and one does not. The difference is of foundation. The difference is not between things beyond their control, which is the weather, but the things that they could control, which is counting the cost and building their houses on the proper foundation. So as Jesus said, both the wise and foolish will suffer the effects of sin in this world, but it's only the wise who will be ready to handle it. Truth number four, he says of the wise, it did not fall. It did not fall. It didn't matter that the same storm that would eventually wipe out another house came upon this house, but this house stood firm. And so take heart. I know truth number three is hard to hear, but we know it's the reality. The storms will come. And let's face it, in a few days when we turn the calendar to 2021, there's no guarantee it's going to be better. But fear not, my brothers and sisters. Fear not. The wise man's house stood firm. It was secure. It was sheltered and protected. And why is that? Because the wise man was more wise or better looking or stronger or smarter or more favored or more popular? Now, you know, this is very elementary, right? It's because he built his house on the rock. Because he heard the words of Christ and he did them. The foundation of this church is to be Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He is the solid rock. And if we build upon this foundation, we will stand even though the storms will come. I think God's doing wonderful things in our midst. But I don't know what the future is. I don't know what the near future holds. But I believe that if we continue to build this ministry here in Kearney on the foundation of the rock who is Christ, we will stand. The Bible says in John 10:28, just listen to the words. In Psalm 91, I'm sorry. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And then Paul says in Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, in all those things, whether it's David in the Psalms, whether it was Jesus in the book of John, or whether it was Paul in the book of Romans, they're all talking about that we live in a world of storms. Opposition, conflict, persecution, they will happen. But in each of those instances, God's people find rest, security, joy, comfort, and peace in the shadow of God Himself. It's not that He will preserve you in the storm. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not preserved from the fire, but they went into the fire and Christ was there with him. God, the God of the universe, is promising you that He is with you in the midst of any storm you endure. So long as your life is built upon the foundation of Christ, He's with you in the death of a loved one. He's with you when you lose your job. He's with you when a relationship doesn't work out. He's with you when your child won't repent or come back. He's with you when your co-workers persecute you. He promised, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're not looking for the structure to stay up. God can send a literal storm and knock down this building. But it's the church, the people of God, will remain preserved so long as we build our faith on the rock. And so that's why we don't look to a church growth strategy or a marketing firm. That's why we don't go out and promote that we have cup holders in our seats, or we rely on a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. I'm not saying we don't plan. But if 2020 teaches us anything, it's that all of our plans are subject to change. But if we prioritize what we said we would prioritize, the number one core value of Bread of Life Kearney, that we are Christ-centered. And if the Word of Christ is the foundation of all that we do, then the world will give us their best shot. We will stand. And the last truth I want to share with you is what happens to the foolish man. His house falls. Jesus says, and it fell. The same storms. He uses the same language, so that you know it's not that he has a worse storm. The same storm. One hits the wise man's house, his stands up. The other hits the foolish man's house and his goes crash. Jesus even says, great was the fall of it. Well, if that's the case, then there is no other foundation that can be laid than Jesus Christ. What Jesus is telling us is that there's not a second way, where the wise man said, I'll build my house on the foundation of Christ, and that stands, but the foolish man has a few other options. There is no other option. There is no other foundation. There is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other rock but Christ. The apostles preach this message. It's not popular today because it's exclusive. But it's exclusive because there's only one who can bear the penalty of sinners. And that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. You cannot build your life upon a philosophy, an ideology, or a religion. Because those things will fall. They're founded by fallible men who are mostly, most of them are dead, and the ones who are alive now creating new ideologies will die as well. But we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was given to us by a risen Lord. He's still alive. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for us. If you're here today and you're hearing the sound of my voice, whether here or on live stream, and you are building your house, your faith, your foundation, your life upon anything other than Christ, the storms will come and they will destroy you. Oh yes, you can have a veneer of success. You can have worldly success. You can have those degrees. You can have the riches. But when it comes to judgment day, you will be destroyed. You will be under the mighty hand of God. The Bible says it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire, and there's no greater storm in this life than the judgment of God that is coming. And the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Every one of us will stand before God one day, and we're all sinners. Everyone in this room, everyone watching, is a sinner. We have all broken God's holy law, and we all deserve the penalty, which is God's wrath, which is something we cannot endure. And we'll endure it in hell for all of eternity. But the good news is that God sent His Son, the one whom we have been celebrating during this Christmas time, Jesus Christ, to live a life we could not live. In perfect righteousness, you and I couldn't keep the whole law for one day. He walked this earth, and even though He was tempted, He perfectly obeyed His Father, and He gave His life in exchange for ours. He bore our sins on the cross. He gives us His righteousness, and that only happens not by works, not by giving money, not by being faithful to church, not by getting baptized, but by turning from your sin and believing the gospel. Matter of fact, Jesus begins the book of Mark with, "The time is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is fulfilled." And He says, "Repent and believe the gospel." So if you hear the words of Christ, then repent and believe the gospel. By faith alone, through God's grace alone, in Christ alone, we have the guarantee of salvation, which is forgiveness of sins, adoption into the family of God, a home in heaven, a new blood-bought family, and reconciliation with the God whose law that we broke. This is the good news. And this is elementary. I know for many of us, this is review. But this is the foundation upon which our church is built. This is the foundation upon which our lives ought to be built. And if we build our church upon Christ, we will not fail. We will not fall. We will not be destroyed. Listen, I would love to tell you as pastor that I can see into the future and know God's going to do this or that in our church. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what other tragedy we might endure in the next few weeks, months, or years. I can only tell you what I see in front of me from this Word. And this year has hit us hard. We've seen the loss of life and people moving away and questions about our future. But I want to encourage you today. I want you to walk away here today encouraged. If Christ, the solid rock, is the foundation upon which our church is built, then let the rains come. Let the floods rise. We will, by the grace of God, weather the storm. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we pray that Your people would be encouraged as we look to Your Word. We will weather this storm. We will be protected by Christ. We may endure more suffering. We don't know. But we trust the One who holds us in the palm of His hand. We pray that You continue to use the means of grace now to encourage Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.